The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. Today, Chamisha Asabot, the 15th of Av. The first Mishnah in the last Perek of Masechta Tanis, and it's also the last Mishnah of Masechta Tanis. Near the end of the Mishnah, this is in the Masechta and the Chov Av on the base. Amar Mishim Gamlil. Mishim Gamlil said, Lo ha'yo yom in tevim li Yisrael, there were never days of such Yom Tov to Israel like the 15th of Av and like Yom HaKippurim. Shebehem benosh Yerushalayim yotzes b'kli loven she'ulim. The daughters of Yerushalayim would go out in white garments and they would borrow, everyone would have to borrow shelelevayis b'sheilai, in order not to embarrass someone who did not have nice white garments. And they would go Yotzos Umanos Yerushalayim Yotzos V'cholos B'kromim. They would go and they would dance in the midrash. Umahoy Omrus, and what would they say? Machor Sona Einecho Rei Ma'ato Be'leloch. Young man, lift your eyes and see what you want to choose for yourselves. Al Titein Einecho Benoi Ten Einecho B'mishpocha. The Gemara is going to explain that the beautiful ones would say, look at the beauty. Those that were not so beautiful, but they came from very good families, or they were the daughters of Gehanim or Levim or Talmidei Chachomim, they would say, do not look at beauty, look at family. Your children will be like the family you marry into. Those who did not come from great families either, would say, Sheker Achein, Vehevela Yefi, Ishi Yeres Hashem Hiti Salo. Grace is deceitful. Beauty is empty. The main thing is a woman that fears Hashem. Vehime Tenulam Bikri Yodeho, Yalulu Vashorim Haseho. Say to a woman who fears Hashem, give her from the fruits of her hands, and let her deeds be praised in the gates of the elders. V'cheino amer, and so does it say, Tse'enno, this is a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Gimel, Tse'enno, Bire'enno, Tse'enno, Ureno. Go out and see Benos Sion, B'melech Shlema, the daughters of Sion, the Melech Shlomo, Ba'atora she'itra la'ima b'yim chasunosa b'yim sim chasribay, the crown that his mother made for him on the day of his chasna, on the day of the rejoicing of his heart. B'yim chasunosa is a matan Torah. The day of his chasna, that was the giving of the Torah. B'yim sim chasribay, the binyan beis hamikdash yibana b'meheir al yameinu. See, the building of the Beis Hamikdash may it be rebuilt hurriedly in our days. Rashi mentions here, which we will go into later, what does it mean by Melech Shlomo? It's not referring to King Salman, but by Melech Shalom Shaloi, but to the king who the peace goes with. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it states the crown which his mother made for him. What does it mean, the crown for Hashem, that his mother made for him? That's Knesset Yisrael, that's Klal Yisrael. And it states B'yem Simchas Liboy, that's Matan Torah, that's Yom HaKippurim, not Shavuos but Yom Kippur, Shenitna by Lichos HaAchreinus, second tablets were given. Now the Gemara elaborates on this. Gemara is at the end of the Masechta, Daf Chof Ches Amud Beis. Amar Rav Shimon Gamliel, Lo Hayom Tovim Li Yisrael, Shimon Gamliel said that there were never two great Yom Tov in Israel like the 15th of Av and Yom HaKippurim. Mishlam Yom HaKippurim Mishum Dismoy Slichu Mechile Yom Shemikim by Luchas Achreinus. Excuse me. Mishlam Yom HaKippur, that was a day of atonement. That was a day of forgiveness. That was the day when the second tablets were given. Moshe came down from the mountain, had to stay up there 140 days. He came down from the mountain. This was after the golden calf, after he broke the first tablets, and he brought the second tablets down. So we understand why that's such a great Yom Tov. But the 15th of Av, why is that a Yom Tov? Omer Rabbi Yehuda Mashbu. Now the Gemara is going to give basically six different reasons. Yehuda Mashmul says Yom Shehut Rishvotim Lo Veze Beze by the daughters of Slavkot. Slavkot had no sons, just daughters, and that was the first generation to come into Eretz Yisrael. And because he had only daughters, they wouldn't inherit the land. And they were from the tribe of Manasseh. And Manasseh complained because if they would inherit the land and then they would marry someone from another tribe, say from Ephraim, from Judah, and then from that union there would be sons, so the sons would inherit that land and those sons belonged to another tribe, so Manasseh complained, we'll be losing our territory. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, good, therefore this is what he commanded. He said, you can choose the best husbands you want for yourselves, but everyone must choose husbands only from their own tribe. Must not intermarry into another tribe. But in the second generation, Moshe Rabbeinu and his court brought a source that this was only for the first generation. And therefore, in the second generation, they permitted all the tribes to intermarry with each other, and the permission was granted on the 15th of Av. Therefore, it became a great simcha. Rabbi Yosef, in the name of Rav Nachman, says another reason. We have the story of Pilegish Begibo. A great despicable act took place from the tribe of Binyamin. Some raking, very low, despicable people from Binyamin went and they abducted a woman, they molested her, violated her, and ultimately she died from it. And the other Shvatim were furious that such a thing like that, you know, what is in Israel, should happen in Israel, happens in the nations of the world, but not in Israel. And they demanded Binyamin to turn over the culprits. And the shepherd Binyamin refused. They became so infuriated that they went to war against Binyamin. And a whole civil war broke out. And because of the great bloodshed that took place, they took vows that they would never give their daughters to Binyamin again. Now, later on, the court ruled that this was only for that generation. Their daughters they would never give. But their sons' daughters, in other words, their granddaughters, they could give. So the next generation, it was rescinded, and it took place on the 15th of Av. Rabbi Baba Chano, Omar Bjechnein, Rabbi Baba Chano, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, says a third reason. Yim Shikolah by Mesei Limbo. The a decree, because of the Chet of Aragni, because of the spies, the people of the desert rebelled against Moshe, rebelled against Hashem, and said we won't go into the land. A decree was made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you won't go into the land. You'll die in the desert. You'll wander for 40 years until everyone who is 20 years old or older will die by the age of 60. Therefore, every year a number of people died. Until after 40 years, the entire generation died out. We can now explain how they died. Rashi tells us that they were dying on Tisha B'Av. Why Tisha B'Av? Because that was the day when the spies came back. The spies came back after Tisha B'Av, and that's when they were Meitzi Dibasra. They slandered the land, and then they slandered Moshe and rebelled. The people wept that evening, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Atem b'chisa b'chia shel chinam, you are weeping for no reason whatsoever. And we say, Ve'alechem b'chia ledonis, I will make this night, this was the night of Tisha B'Av, a day of weeping forever. And therefore, they would die every Tisha B'Av. Every year of Tisha B'Av, they were instructed to dig graves for themselves. And that night they would sleep in the grave in case they would die and nobody would bury them. In the morning, a voice would come out, Yibodlu Achai Min HaBeisim, let the live ones get up and leave the dead and depart from the dead ones. And there was always a fraction that remained in the graves and the rest lived to the next year. When it came to the 40th year, everyone got up. And they were surprised and stunned. No one died. So they thought maybe they made the wrong calculation. It was not the 9th of Av, but it was earlier. They didn't calculate the months properly. So the next night they went to sleep in the graves again, and the next night, and the next night, until finally on the 15th of Av, that's the full moon. They saw there was a full moon. They saw that Tisha B'Av already passed a few days ago, and the decree has now been terminated, has now been annulled. So it became a great simcha. And then the Gemara says, because of that, this is in the volume, Sefer Dvorim, and Rashi there explains it. After all of the generation of that desert, of the desert that was supposed to die, died, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to speak openly again to Moshe Rabbeinu. But till then, all of those years, he did not teach Torah to Moshe openly, closely. He distanced himself from Moshe. And Rashi, the Chumash says, to teach us, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes close to the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Bishchus Yisrael. And since he was distant from that generation, he distanced himself from Moshe Rabbeinu also. Fourth reason is brought, Ulama Yem Shebitel Hoshea Ben Ola Krusotjes Shehoshi Yerovam Ben Nevot Aladrochim Shola Yalul Yisrael Lerego. Yerovam Ben Nevot, who was the great wicked king, he stopped people from going up to Eretz to Yerushalayim for the intake. He put guards on all the roads going up. Hoshea ben Olo, who was not such a great tzaddik himself, but he decided to rescind this decree. He removed the guards and he said, La'eza she'ir tzu yalu, whoever wants to go to Yerushalayim, let him go. And this took place on the 15th of Av. It became a yontif. Harmasna Oma Yom Shenigma Harugi Beit HaLekfura. The fifth reason that is given is after the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash by the Romans, there still was a great city, Jewish city left with many, many people in it, and it was called Beitar. And this was the last stronghold, and they held out for many years against the Romans, but finally the Romans overcame it and they destroyed it. And this also took place on the 9th of Av. And the Romans were so incensed with the rebellion that they didn't allow Haruge Beitar Lekfura, that all of those that were killed should be given over to burial. It was only 2 years later that a new general came and he permitted burial of all of the dead. miracle happened that the bodies didn't decay. And on that day was a great simcha because of this. And Tiknu B'Yavna Hatov Mametiv. And that's when Yavna, the Sanhedrin and Yavna, added to the Birchas Anozim our fourth bracha. There's three brachas in our Torah, but the fourth bracha, Hatov Mametiv, and also told us that whenever we drink wines, under certain conditions, we have very, very good wines, different types of wines, under certain conditions, we should also make a bracha Hatov Mametiv. Hatov Mametiv represents a double goodness. Means the good on the good and on the one who gives good to others. What was the double goodness done to others? Shlahi srichu, firstly that the bodies did not decay, and secondly shenitnu l'kvura. That was the fifth reason. Sixth reason, Rabbi Yisim Damitervaya Yom Sheposku Milikres Eitzim L'Marocha. On the mizbeach, on the altar, there was constantly wood. There was constantly fires, five fires on the altar, always burning. Eish tomi tukam boy, always burning. They needed a lot of wood. And the wood had a din of a korban, an aloha of a sacrifice. And therefore it was not allowed to have any worms in it or insects. So to assure this, they would dry out the wood in the sun. But because the Gemara says that after the 15th of Av, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Northern Hemisphere, the 15th of Av, Tamas and Av are your hottest months. And after the 15th of Av, there the sun starts to lose its power a bit. And we start to turn the cycle where we're starting to leave the hottest times of the year and head for a little more cooler time. Because the sun was losing its power, they would make sure to finish the cutting of the wood for the entire coming year by the 15th of August, because then they could dry it out well in the sun to kill all of the insects. But because of the Mizbeach, on that day, they would make a great simcha, and that was the 15th of August. Toshas keches shulchama v'layakosi neitzim lamarocha lefi she'enon yobeshin. And that day was a great simcha, and they called it Tovan Magal, the day when the axe was put away, the axe ceased. The Gemara goes further, and it states, Tana mi she'en le'isha nifne l'shom, someone who didn't have a wife, he would go to the vineyards to look for one on those days. Yuchase shebehem, tonen abonen, yefifei shebehem, mahar aymeris tu meinechem leyofi. Beautiful ones would say, look for beauty. Yuchase shebehem, mahar hoyu aymeris, the ones that came from good yuchus, they would say, look for those that come from good families. Those who didn't have anything, they would say, look for Shem l'shem shemayim, look for those who fear heaven. And then the Gemara concludes, Omer Blozer, Osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu las ismocho l'tzadikim. In the world to come, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to dance with tzadikim. He's going to make a big circle. Hu yeshi b'nehem. The tzadikim will be in the circle, the righteous ones, and Hashem will be in the middle, the Gan Eden. This will take place in Gan Eden. And every one will point with his finger to Hashem and say, "Vayemahu hine elakenu ze kivinu lai v'yeshinu ze Hashem kivinu lai." They would say that on that day we can see Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and they would point. Not that they would actually see him, but this is how close they would come to him, and they would say, "This is what we have waited for. This is Hashem." Salvation. Nogila v'nismacha b'shuasai, where we will take great joy in simcha in his Yeshua's, in his salvation of us. This is the Gemara. It's a very strange Gemara, as we can see. And let's try, in the short amount of time that we have this evening, let's try to clarify what is going on here. The first question is, why should so many things happen, so many good things happen in the 15th of Av? 15th of Av seems to be a very insignificant date. Secondly, there should be some equation, some common denominator between all of these things that happened. What is it? And what, a third question, you see the Gemara mentions the two greatest Yom Tovim were the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. What do they have in common with each other, the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur? The fourth question is they became Yom Shel Zivukim, days of making Zivukim, making Shidduchim. Why was it appropriate to make Shidduchim on those days? And then the fifth one question is that it seems on all of the days of the 15th of Av something happened. But the last reason they didn't want to do it, that seems to be out of place. Something happened. It was planned to stop cutting the wood by that time. So what was that all about? The sages teach us that there are zamanim amyuchodim l'Yisrael ledavorim tovim and zamanim miyuchodim l'Yisrael lehepuch. There are days set aside for good things to happen for Israel, and there are days set aside for not such good things to happen for Israel. And the reason for that is those days amyuchodim are set aside for the nations of the world, the evil nations of the world. The good days that are set aside for Israel, firstly there's Nisan, the month of Nisan. That was the redemption from Mitzrayim, Chag HaPesach. Sages tell us the Gula Asido, the redemption that will come in the time of the Mashiach, will be in Nisan. The Mishkan was first put up on the Shredish Nisan. What was so important about the Mishkan, the sanctuary in the desert, that was the foundation to the Beis HaMikdash. And that was actually the Nisuin, the so-called marriage between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. Because, giving of the Torah, he gave Klal Yisrael the tablets, the Erusin, the Betrothal. But he brought them, he came into their home at the time of the Mishkan. He said, make for me a Mishkan, Mishachanti, to say, come, I want to dwell with you, I want to come and live with you. This all took place in Nisan. The Shevis, the source for this, it has an earlier source. Yitzchak was born in Nisan. What is so important about the birth of Yitzchak? More than the birth of anyone else? No, no, they're important. Because Abraham was given the prophecy, the Koyeza Acha, your seed will be the greatest in the world. The prophecy, the Nimrocha Docho, Kol Mishpachay Sadom, that from you and your seed, all of the families in the world will be blessed. And Abraham said, I don't see it. I have no seed. Finally, he had a son from Ishmael, from Hagar, it's the Arab nation. How you can fit the bill. And Abraham was very concerned and very worried. When Yitzchak was born, this was the blossoming of the Bikurim. This was the beginning, the unfolding of that prophecy. That was so important about the birth of Yitzchak. It was the unfolding of the prophecy of Kodi as a Acha. This shall be your seed, a blessed Nidruch Ubacho, a blessed seed for the entire world. And this time of Nisan, which is so good for Klal Yisrael, it even starts a little before. The Gemara says, Mishenichnas Adar Madmir Simchah. Adar is right before Nisan. And we should start being Mesameach. I maybe you'll say that has nothing to do with Nisan, that has to do with Purim, which is an Adar. Rashi says not like that. Rashi says in Masechet Tannis, Chof Talit, Chof Tes, Seifam and Aleph and Reisham and Beis, he says, why Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha? He says, because your main Nisim Hoyu Yisrael Purim U'Pesach. Because once Adar comes, we experience miracles of Purim and Pesach in Nisan. That's one time which is very good for Klal Yisrael. We have another time also which is very good for Klal Yisrael, Tishrei. What is Tishrei? The Torah refers to it as the Chodesh HaShvi, the seventh month. Shvi means full, and then it says Soma b'mitzvus, full of mitzvus. Rosh Hashanah, Shofar, Yom HaKippurim, the Ten Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Sukkos, Chag Sukkos, the Mitzvah of Sukkah, the Lulav, Hashanah Rabbah, Shmini Atzeres, the Siyum HaShel Torah. So Tishrei, the Sava of the Mitzvahs is full of great mitzvahs and simchas. Actually, Tishrei also starts from a little before this month, because we have Elul. And the Gemara says, from the beginning of Elul starts the Yemei Rotzer, the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to Klal Yisrael. And it has an early origin. It has an early origin. What is its early origin? Its early origin is that when Moshe went up to the mountain, he stayed there after the Egel Azor, the golden calf. Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't listen to him. He wasn't interested. He wanted to destroy Israel. Finally, he told Moshe, come up again for 40 days. The last 40 days. And I will listen to you. And that was Rosh Chodesh Elul. 40 days from Rosh Chodesh Elul to Yom HaKippurim. So we see it already starts from before. Excuse me 1 minute. Nishan and Tishrei. What do they have in common with each other? The mother tells us. Mother tells us. They have in common with each other. These are times when it's not cold, it's not hot. Kodesh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael out of Egypt at a time when it would be easy to go out, not cold and not hot. It's the spring. It's after the cold winter, before the heat of the summer. And the Gemara tells us Sukkos, Kodesh Baruch Hu made when it's not cold and it's not hot. In the autumn, Sukkos takes place in the northern hemisphere in September or early October, because the Gemara tells us had he made it, he didn't want to make it in the cold winter, because then you'd have to go into a sukkah in the cold winter, and he didn't want to make it in the heat of the summer, because everyone goes into the sukkah in the heat of the summer. They all had garden homes where they would go out to cool off and to maybe have a meal. So therefore he made it at a time when it was not cold and not hot. This is what the Gemara tells us. So this is what these two seasons have in common with each other. It's not winter, it's not summer, but spring and autumn. But it's a little deeper than that. This means, the Maral says, that this is exactly the Mamutza. There's a time when the distance between the sun and the earth is very close, and you get the great heat. There's a time when the distance between the sun and the earth grows very far away, and you get the immense cold. There's a time when the distance between the sun and the earth is right at midpoint, the middle of the cycle. And then you do not get extreme cold or extreme heat. But you get not cold and not hot, moderation. Moderate weather. This is the spring and this is the autumn. When the sun and the earth are too close, you have very long days and short nights. When they're too far away from each other, you have very short days and long nights. But in the spring, in the autumn, the nights and the days are exactly even. And this is the mitzvah. This is the mamutza, the midpoint. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the mamutza. He loves moderation and hates extremes. And that's what the Gemara says. Why did these things happen on these days? The gambling schus and the yem zaka. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a good thing to happen in the world. He looks for a day that's appropriate for it. How do we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves moderation? Well, you can look in the Rambam. The Rambam says the mitzvah of halachta bidracha, that you should walk in his ways. What are his ways? His ways are always mamutza, the moderate ways. Not to the extreme right and not to the extreme left. He hates radicalism. He hates fanaticism. He doesn't like extremes. He likes the mamutza, the moderation. This is what is known as the yosher, but the straight. Because once something becomes crooked, it goes off to the right or to the left. This is also what is known as tomim. It states HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the yosher, and he's the tomim. And the sfora is pekudei Hashem yeshorim. His mitzvahs are yeshorim, and toras Hashem tomima, and his toras tam. And Yaakov Avinu was known as the Yeshurim and Ishtar. And Yisrael were known as the Yeshurim. And therefore they fit right in for him. And we have Gemara that says that there's so many things in by the Torah in Yisrael that are Mishuloshim, triplets. For example, Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim. We have the Chumash, the Levim, the Ksuvim. And it goes on and on. But I'll explain it, because the first one is to the right, the second one is to the left, third one is the middle, and that's the chuta mishulosh that binds the others. And because of that, this is how he set up the entire world. The heart is in the middle of the body. Eretz Yisrael, Chazal tells us, is in the middle of the earth. Yerushalayim is in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. We find it in the whole world. Where is the issue? Where do people live? They do not live in the North Pole. They do not live in the South Pole. They do not live in the extremities. It's not fit for living. But the issue is in the middle. And therefore, we will always find the kedusha, the sanctity. Because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, in the Mamutza, in the central point. And since those days are in the central, they're prone to Kedusha. They give Teach to Israel, that this is Am Kodesh, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings good things to happen in those times. On the other hand, to the contrary, we have times that are Mu'adim that were set aside not for good things. And those were Tavis and Ob. Tavis and Ob were chosen for fast days because of this reason. What happened in Tavis? What happened in Ob? Tavis comes out generally in January. Ob comes out, we're in Og now, usually comes out in August. What happened in those days, the Mishnah in Tainus, and here goes into it, and the Gemara, but a brief summary, I'll quote from the Mishnah Berurah, it's in Hilchos Tishbo B'Shar Tanias, in Tov Kuf Mem Tes, Sif Aleph Sif Gotten Beis. Now, he brings Tisha B'Av, Ayve Churban Godel. In Av, there was the great Churban. Shenachra by Habay Sarishan. The first Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Kamashengi, the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. Tisha B'Av is the day that the decree took place on our fathers. They shouldn't go into Eretz Yisrael. It was the day of the destruction of Beitar. And it was the day when Tumas Rufus, Harosha, went and plowed up Yerushalayim. Hey, Dvorim, Narrow, and Tisha B'Av. What was on the 10th of Tavis? The 10th of Tavis is Samach Melech Bovel Nebuchadnezzar Rosh al Yerushalayim. Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king, came to Yerushalayim, Levi B'motzer B'motzer, and he laid siege to the city, and from there came the Churban. Now, actually, in all, there are more bad things happened than in Tavis. We see it even starts from before of a bit. It starts already in Tammuz, Yud Zayin B'Tammuz. The Mishnah in the Sector Tainus tells us, Hey Dvorim Nerumu B'Tammuz. Five great sorrows happened in Tammuz. The enemy stopped, didn't allow us to bring the Korban Tomei, the daily sacrifice anymore, in the first place of Mikdush. The city was broken in during the time of the second base of Mikdush. Of his Tomus, he burnt a Sefer Torah on that day, and he put an idol in our base of Mikdush, and so forth. So we see consistently all kinds of bad things happen on those days. Actually, there's an earlier source to Av and Tammuz, because, like we mentioned, we just briefly mentioned, the first bad thing that happened on the 17th of Tammuz is that's when we served the golden calf. 40 days after Shavuos is the 17th of Tammuz. And Moshe was on the mountain and he was about to come down, and I thought his Baruch Hu says, go down right away. Shifes Amcho, your nation is destroying themselves, they're ruining themselves. Osalehem, Elei Masecho, they went and they made a molten image. So that was the 17th of Tammuz, and then he broke the tablets. Tisha B'Av has an early source, like we mentioned, because that was when the Meraglim came back, and that night they cried, they wept, and it was decreed that forever this will be a day of Peronius, a day of affliction, heaven forbid, for Klal Yisrael. What do these two dates have in common with each other? These two dates have in common with each other because it's either the extreme cold or the extreme heat. Tavis, the northern hemisphere, comes out in the extreme cold. It's in January. And it's the shortest days and the longest nights. While Tisha B'Av, Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, which comes out in July and August, is during the extreme heat. The longest days and the shortest nights. And again, we see, because it's an extreme. Either the relationship between the earth and the sun is totally distant, or the relationship is as close as possible. Because it's an extreme, that means it's far from Kedusha. And because of that, there's an Ishgabrus of Keches HaTumah. Those days are prone for the powers of impurity in the world. And because of that, the nations of the world that thrive on this have their greatest strength and mazel in these days. And it's not mazel to your days, but Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara tells us, the Galilean Chayiv, Beyim Chavim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a debt to settle, Pronius affliction to bring to the world. He waits for a day when it's appropriate. Now, of these two towns, Talus, which is in January, it's in the cold in the northern hemisphere near Eretz Yisrael, and Av, which is in August, the heat, extreme heat of the summer. Av, we find, has been even worse for Klal Yisrael. Tammuz and Av. And as we just read, 8 warning, 5 bad things happen in Av, 5 bad things happen in Tammuz. Why is this? The reason for this is because the time when the sun has its strongest chaos, its strongest power over the earth, the greatest heat of the sun is over the earth, that's in Chodesh Av. Who drew his chaos from the sun? This was Esau. Esau was called Edom. And sages tell us, Al Shem HaShemesh. Edom means red, red like the sun. And from Esau came the great warring nations that were kafir to Hashem, that denied the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Esau said, what do I need this Bechera for, this firstborn right? And Mihalech Lobos, there's no world after this, there's no God. From him came Edom and Rome, and from him came Amalek. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that as long as Amalek is in the world, they are such kofrim, they deny my kingdom, my throne is not complete, and my name is not complete. Now, what did they hold for them if they denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They worshipped and they respected the strongest physical powers in the world. Physical power, this is what they respected. And the sun is the greatest physical power of the world. The Ma'or HaGodl, the great light which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. We call the sun Shemesh. And the word Shemesh is but a servant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed him to govern the universe, the physical universe. And the sages tell us, why does the sun constantly set in the west? Because the Shekhinah is in the west. And the sun, being just a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, has to bow to his master. So when he sets, he's bowing. Ki am bekamim Mario. This is our vision of it. This is the vision of truth. But to the Kefri, to Esau, now, they hold that the sun has nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's the master of the world. The evolutionists believe this. The sun is the source of all energy. It's energy that created the world. Therefore, they make from the sun the almighty king of the world. And therefore, when is their greatest power in the world? When the sun has its greatest power. When is that? It's Chodesh Av. When the sun burns the earth, comes as close as possible to the earth. Now, we asked, what was this simcha when they finished cutting the wood for the Mizbeach? Tovar Mago, they called it. Great simcha, we put away the axe now. It's true, one simcha was a Gemar Mitzvah. We finished the Mitzvah. And it wasn't a Mikra. It wasn't just happened on this day. It was always by this day, because they refused to cut wood after that for the reasons why we gave. And actually, the Vilna Gaon brings from here a source that when you finish a mitzvah, you must make a great simcha. So this was very true. But we have to go deeper. What was the cause of the finishing of the mitzvah? Why did they finish the mitzvah now? They finished the mitzvah now, the Gemara says, because the power of the sun and that day started getting stronger. Every day it was getting stronger and stronger. The world was getting hotter and hotter. And from the 15th of Av, the Gemara says, Tosh Shas Kechai HaShemesh, the sun stopped getting stronger. And it started now to head back towards the midpoint. And since the sun stopped getting stronger, it has two ramifications. One, a practical ramifications. We couldn't cut wood after that because we were afraid it won't dry out, it would be moist, and there would still be worms and insects alive, and that would be disqualified from the Atzi Amarocha. Then another ramification. This means the sun now, the sun is the great king. And he's kabrus hakeach, he gets stronger and stronger. What's all the sun is turning around for? He's backing up. Because he's backing up to a greater keach, Takosh Baruch, to his master. Just like he always bows every day in the west, comes that time of year, he knows his time is up, it's time to head back. And he's heading back towards central. So from that time on, the kayah, the strength of Esau, starts to wane. And we're getting closer to the points of the midpoint of Kedusha, the enormous simcha. Because still then, the hand of Esau was getting stronger and stronger. So this was the great simcha, that on this day we finished the mitzvah, because we have to finish the mitzvah, because the sun would start to wane. And this would mean we've gone away far enough, now it's time to head back. Accordingly, now we can explain what these reasons. We mentioned there were six reasons. So actually, we could say seven or eight, because in the time when the goat and the big boss stopped dying, the Gemara really gives two simchos. One is they stopped dying, and two is that Kodesh Baruch Hu came back to Moshe Rabbeinu to speak to him. And also at the time of Beta, there were two simchas. Tova Meiti, they were given over to Pura, and they didn't decompose, and they were given over to Pura. So there were six or eight of these reasons, you could say. But what was common in all of the reasons? Give them and all of the reasons, you'll find that it's not really that anything good in actuality happened, but rather what was bad was rescinded. It was a reversal. It was an annulment of a bad decree. Not anything actually good took place. For example, the first one is that the daughters of Slothka in her generation were told they were never allowed to marry into other Shvatim and other tribes. Next generation, Moshe and his court annulled that decree. It's an annulment of that thing. Next reason is that Binyamin, the other Shvatim, took a vow they'll never give their daughters to Binyamin. Next generation, they rescinded the decree. Third reason, there was a decree that all of this generation will die in the desert. The 15th of all, they saw the decree was rescinded. And automatically, I thought Baruch Hu returned to the camp. Fourth reason, Yerovam ben Nevat, he placed guards on all of the roads going to Yerushalayim to prevent anybody from going up to Yerushalayim. Then one day, on the 15th of Av, a couple of years later, there arose a new king, and he rescinded the decree of Hoshea ben Olah, and he said, he took away the guards, and he said, whoever wants to go up, let him go up. And then, the fifth reason was the Romans decreed that Harugi Beitar would not be given over to burial. Then, on this day, they rescinded the decree. So nothing actually good happened, but the evil was removed in all of these cases. Now, what does that signify? This is the same thing in the universe. The 15th of Av, when the sun stops, it's coming closer and closer to the earth. Nothing really good has happened yet. Still very, very close. It's just that it stopped in its tracks now. And now the movement of the relationship between the sun and the earth is going to start in an opposite direction. Till now, every day, the sun and the earth were coming closer together. And the power of the sun, you have these gabus of the kechus of the shemesh, was getting stronger and stronger. Heat was becoming stronger and stronger. And we said, with this is the power of those nations that worship the sun, Esau in particular. The 15th of Av is when it stops coming closer and starts to reverse its track. But nothing good has happened. It's just that that koyach hatuma that was coming from that has ceased. And now it starts to move in the opposite direction. It's still very far away from the center. Now, what takes place after that? Well, let's see. The sun starts to reverse its pattern, and now it starts to, the distance between the earth and the sun, at least in the northern hemisphere, starts to widen day by day. From the 15th of Av we go another 2 weeks, and now we come to Rosh Chodesh Elul. It's a Yemei Rotzen, the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes closer, because we're coming now closer to the midpoint. But we're not to the midpoint yet. Another 2 weeks we're in the mid Elul. We're closer, but we're still not to the midpoint until we come to Tishrei. 2 weeks later we come to Tishrei. Now we have reached the midpoint. Now the relationship between the earth and the sun is exactly even. The days and the nights are exactly even. Not longer nights, days than nights, and not longer nights than days. And now we come to the strength of the powers of Kedusha. Because as mentioned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways are all in the middle, Yosher. That's the case. Now, Klal Yisrael, these are the times of Klal Yisrael. We were given Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Seder Shemei Tshuva, until we come to Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, we reach the highest point of that Kedusha. That's the point of Yom Slichu Machila, the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael at the Egel Azov, and he said, I'm going to come and stay with you now. And it's the time when he gave Moshe the Luchos Acharis. The time when the Kohen Gadol can represent Klal Yisrael to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim where no man is ever allowed to go. So what is in common now, we ask, what is in common between the 15th of Av and the Yom Kippur? is because the 15th of Av is where the sun turns around in its journey and starts to head back towards the center, and Yom Kippur is when it reaches the center. Now we can understand what the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara says, Lo hoyu yomim tovim liYisrael ki yom haKippurim uki chamish asavav. Not such great days of Simcha to Klal Yisrael like these 2 days. Well, this is Yom Kippur, I understand. Days of Slicha Mechila, like we said, the days of giving second tablets. For what? Chamish Asavot. The Gemara explains. Now, what was done in these 2 days? How were these 2 days celebrated? One says is that B'nai Yisrael, the daughters of Israel, will go out to the throne, to the vineyards, Misha Ein Le Isha, follow the shop. Someone who didn't have a wife would go there. They will dance, they will try to attract the men. It was a day of Zivugim. What's Isis a way to celebrate these days? Very simple. These were the days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael were coming closer together. When the sun starts to turn around from the days of Esau, which represents those that want to destroy Hashem and Yisrael, and starts on its track back, getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then these were the days of the Kibbutz of Avos, unity of the hearts between Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's happening in the Mala, if that's happening in the upper worlds, then for sure it would have an influence in our world also. Therefore it was a very, very good day for Kiru Lavavais, bringing hearts together in Zivug. Therefore, I would go out and say this is the time to find a good Zivug, a good match. Now, the Tana of the Mishnah ends with something strange, and the Gemara ends even with something stranger. What does the Tana of the Mishnah end with right after telling us this? He brings it, he says, V'cheinu Eimer, Tse'ena Purema, B'nei Sion, V'melech Shlema. Go out and see the daughters of Tzion, the Melech Shlomo, and Rashi says this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Atorish Yitro Le'imai, the crown which his mother made for him, who's that? Knesset Yisrael, B'yem Chasunosei, Rashi says, B'yem Chasunosei, and the day of his Chasun, the day of the rejoicing of his heart. What was the day of his Chasunah? The Gemara says there was the giving of the Torah. Rashi says there was Yom Kippur, the giving of the second tablets. What was the day of Simchas Libay? What was the day of the great rejoicing? There was the Binyan Beis Hamikdash that will take place in Hevel Yameinu. What is the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is saying that those days that we spoke about is the cue when Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu come closer together. They come closer together in the spiritual world. It's a time for Zivugim here in this world. But there'll be even a time of closeness between Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It started on Yom Kippur when Moshe came down and gave the tablets to Klal Yisrael, and they were forgiven from the Egel Azor because they're in the golden calf. That was the great Rikus. They were far, far away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left the camp for 40 years. One talked to Moshe and they opened. Came back. So there was a time when they came very, very close together. That was when the Lucas Rishonis. But there was a time, there'll be a time when they'll be even closer. And that's the time of the Mishkon HaAsiga, the sanctuary which will be when the Mashiach comes. Simchas Liba, the Binyan Beis Hamikdash b'meiro yameinu, the building of the Beis Hamikdash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell forever with us. That's what the Mishnah ends with. The Gemara wants to go even further. The Gemara says there's even a time of greater closeness than all that we mentioned. And the Gemara ends like this. Amar Ablazer, Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'aseis mochel le'tzadikim. Reb Lezer said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu were in Gan Eden. The greatest closeness in this world would be the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, b'meiro yameinu. But in the next world will be even closer. That Hashem in Gan Eden will dance with the tzaddikim, with the righteous. The righteous ones will make a great circle, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will sit in the middle, and everyone will point the finger at Hashem and say, "Bayom Ahu, Hinei Elokeinu, Zeki Vinu Lai." This is our God. This is who we have waited for. Yeshinu Ze Hashem Kivinu Lai. We have waited for His salvation. Nogila Venismach Abishu Asai. And then we will come to the greatest Simcha of all. In HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yeshua. We zeichet to Yeshua's and Nechoma's and Klavis.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.